Good morning. Everyone doing all right so far? My name is Travis Edgerton. I'm one of the pastors here at this church. And if you don't know me, and if you do know me, you might be wondering where I've been last month. And where I've been is I work for an incredibly kind and generous church who gave me a sabbatical for the last month. And I enjoyed a really nice month-long break to be with my family, to kind of push reset in my own heart and ministry. And I want to just start by thanking you all that I work for a church and work for a congregation like you and serve a congregation like you that loves me enough to not only give me a month off, but to keep paying me while I took the time off. So you guys are an incredible church. And I hope you realize how rare a thing this family is. I hope you realize that. This is an incredible place to be. And I've never wanted to be anywhere more in my entire life. So thank you for being a gigantic part of that. And thank you for the break. I really appreciated it. And so did Charlotte and the girls, all six of them. And I'm really ready to be around adults now, just so you know. I love you, girls. I'm joking. Kind of. So I was on sabbatical, and Sunday night, the last night of my sabbatical, I just took some time alone and just wrote down some notes of some things I felt God was saying to me. Sum it all up, there are three main things I felt like the Lord kind of was telling me over my sabbatical. The first one was that the people I work with in the office here, you know, Monday through Thursday and Sunday and all other types of days as ministry will have it. The people I work with are an incredible gift of God, and I need them deeply. I am not the same person. I do not grow in my walk with Christ without them, and so I am incredibly grateful for that. So I need the people that I am with and that I work with. The second thing is that I have to redefine my relationship with food. Food and I have a very close relationship. It's a very loving one. We spend a lot of time together. Quality time and quantity time. And what God was telling me over a long list of bad decisions I made with food over the last month was that my problem with food is not just a discipline issue. It's a pride issue. It's that I use food to replace Jesus. I go to food when I should be going to Jesus. I'm supplying myself with peace or joy or whatever it might be that I'm looking for with food rather than with Jesus. And so it's an issue of pride and humility. So I need the people I work with. Food is a big issue for me. And the third one was that most of my anxiety in my life comes from trying to control the uncontrollable. Things that even if I could get my hands on them, I couldn't control. So what I walked into after God telling me those three things on Sunday night, here's what I walked into Monday morning coming back to work. I walk into the office and it's lights off, completely empty, and I realize no one's going to be there that day. So much for all these people that helped me become like Christ. They just left me completely alone on my first day back to work because of vacations and other things. And so I was like, wow, I'm totally alone today, and I was really looking forward to these people and they're not here. Well, okay. So that first thing that I was hoping to find some peace in and enjoyment, it didn't happen. And then so the second thing that I noticed was there was this pink box of donuts sitting on the counter with a little note from Lois Fries, who's one of our lay leaders here at the church. And the note said, these donuts and coffee, all this was just here Sunday when we showed up, and we don't know where it was from. So here you go. Note that I'm alone in an office with a box of donuts. Satan attacked me with donuts, and Lois Fries helped him. I just hope she can sleep at night. The third thing, I walk into my office, and I got some information that showed me I was going to have to be making some adjustments over the next month that I wasn't expecting and that could cause some anxiety in me that I had no control over, controlling the uncontrollable. I come back from a sabbatical that's supposed to be about rest, and the first 3 minutes of walking back into my office, what happened? The peace just poof, right? And it was at that point when that third thing happened, God brought to mind those three things he'd impressed on me. And he said, you know, Travis, you are preaching a sermon this coming Sunday about not being anxious about anything. And I just laughed out loud. I did. It was just so real to me. Here's the thing, and I want us to all feel this right now and get on the same page. Peace is so hard to come by, isn't it? And it's even harder to keep. Peace has been the most elusive experience of my entire life. I've been a Christian since I was a boy. And it hasn't been until I was 37 years old last year, now I'm 38, but it wasn't until I was around 37 that I experienced any lasting kind of peace. 37 years of chasing and trying to find and not having peace. Can we all just feel this together right now? Do you feel that? Peace is so hard to have. And you want it so badly, don't you? If you could just experience the peace of God every day in your life, say, I'm at peace, I'm at rest, most of the other stuff just wouldn't matter, would it? But it is so elusive, and as soon as you think you got your hand on it, it's like smoke that just goes through your fingers. So this morning, we're going to be looking, we're continuing this series on, it's called Awakening, and it started off talking about humility, and now we've transitioned to a part where we're really talking about prayer and how prayer and humility intersect. And this morning, God put on my heart to speak to you about this passage in Philippians that talks about anxiety and coming to God and letting him provide for us in those times of anxiety. Before we jump into the scripture, I do want to give two disclaimers. Is that okay? Two just little legal disclaimers, you know, the fast-talking guy at the end of the radio commercial. I want to just say a few things to make sure we don't go in the wrong direction. First of all, we're talking about anxiety, and doubtless there are many people in this room who struggle with anxiety on a regular basis, and not just the anxiety of life, but physiological anxiety, anxiety that's caused by a chemistry issue or in your body or a psychological issue, a chronic anxiety. The last thing I would want you, those of us in this room that struggle with chronic anxiety, the last thing that I would want you to do is hear from me. If you just pray more and if you're just more spiritual, all that goes away. And so I don't need to take my medicine and I don't need to see my counselor anymore. I would be horrified if anyone in this room took what I'm about to say and took it that direction of I don't need those things. And here's why. God provides to us in many different ways. And if you take the position of, well, but that the medicine and the counseling, the psychiatry, that's just science, and so that's not God. I'd ask you, these discoveries in medicine and in science and in psychology, these scientists are discovering something. What are they discovering? What God created. God supplies our needs in many different ways, and so I'd ask you not to take a simplistic view of anxiety this morning. I can't cover the whole thing, nor do I understand it all. I'm not a person that deals with chronic anxiety in the way that many do. So I can't explain it all, and I can't speak to every issue, so please don't hear me making this simplistic this morning. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says about it, okay? But in no way should you take what I say this morning and go the wrong direction and cut off the paths that God has created for so many of us to be healthy, which could include medicine, which could include counseling, okay? That's between God and you and your family, but agreed we're not going to take it that way, right? Okay, good. Second thing, if the anxiety that you have in your life is coming from disobedience, there's a very difficult but simple answer. Obey. No amount of prayer to ask God to change the rules for you and what you're doing is going to give you peace about your disobedience. Matt texted me from the conference he went to yesterday. He texted me a quote from John Ortberg. And John Ortberg said this, "Peace is on the other side of obedience." If this is an issue, if your anxiety or your decisions are coming from an issue of disobedience, this is not going to help you. Well, maybe it will, but the answer is very clear. Obey the Lord. He knows what's best for you. And peace is on the other side of that very difficult obedience. Okay? Disclaimer's over. Agreed? Good. Let's look at the passage. Philippians 4, starting at verse 5b. You might say, what is that B about? It's the second sentence in this verse. I wish that verse 6 kind of started at where I'm going to be starting right now. This is one of those times I wish I could erase the verse number in the Bible and put it somewhere else because I really do think it should be. It's on page 1250 in the Bible in front of you if you don't have a Bible with you, but open up there, 1250, Philippians 4, starting at verse 5b, right in the middle of verse 5 there. I'm going to read through 7. Matt already read it, but here's how it starts. The Lord is at hand. And then it goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything. Now, do you see how important it is that we include this in our passage today? That we don't just start at verse 6 of do not be anxious. That command is based on the premise and the context that Jesus is here and with us. There is no daylight between you and your God. He is right here. He is not distant. He is with us. That is the foundation for dealing with, for throwing our anxiety on him. The whole reason that we can put our anxiety onto him is because he is there. The presence of Jesus is the foundation for our peace. The Lord is at hand. So he says, do not be anxious about anything. This word anxious, really what it boils down to, and I think we all have had this experience, and we could all define it ourselves, but the word that Paul uses here when he writes this letter to the Philippians, this word anxious is about this persistent worry and brooding. Going over something in your mind over and over and over and consistently and persistently worrying and urgent worrying about the situations in your life or decisions or problems or hurts, whatever it may be. It's a persistent, urgent worry. And he says, don't do that. Don't be anxious about anything. And he doesn't just stop there and give the command. He doesn't just say, stop being anxious. That's the command. There you go. Stop it. He says, I want to tell you how this works. I'm giving you the command, but I want you to know how you stop the anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Is that your normal response when you feel anxious? Some of us, it's maybe become that. But if you're looking at my life, no, it's not. When I feel anxious, I don't go to prayer. I start problem solving. Is that what you do? That's my flinch reaction. So through prayer and supplication, now that word supplication, that is a kind of a big word. When I first ran across it, I thought, I kind of know what it means, but I don't, so I looked into it. And it's interesting to me that this word supplication is kind of a mirror image of anxiety. Through prayer and supplication, supplication means persistent and urgent prayer and pleading to God. So you find yourself in a place where you are persistently and urgently worrying about something, and God's word to us says, okay, that's your situation. I want you to respond with persistent, urgent pleading to the Father in heaven. That your persistence and urgency in prayer would outmatch the persistency and urgency of anxiety. And he says, with thanksgiving. Again, I don't know about you, but when I'm anxious or I have a problem or a decision to make, my first reaction is not, thanks God. Is it yours? No. Why should I be thankful? Why is there a command to be thankful, an instruction to be thankful in the midst of anxiety as I'm going to God? Here's why. because you've been invited by the creator of all the universe to take the cares and anxiety and problems that are on your shoulders and to put them on his. You've been invited by the creator of the universe who spoke and stars came into existence and the earth and all that is made, and you and your heart is beating by his very words. And the one who did this is saying, make your problems my problems. Even without the problem being fixed yet, that is a reason to be thankful. Because your heavenly Father loved you enough to say, this is not your problem, it's mine. When my son died for you and you put your faith in him, I bought you with a price, and I bought the rights and the deed to everything in your life, including not just the good stuff, but the bad stuff. Your fears, your anxieties, your decisions, your problems. Travis, you don't own those anymore. I do. This is where the thanksgiving comes from. Not because it's fixed yet, but because you've been invited by a God who loves you to make your problems his problems. He bought that right away from you. He bought the right to worry and anxiety away from you. And he puts those worries and anxieties on his very capable, strong, broad shoulders and says, no problem for me, I'll take that. This is why we're thankful. So he says, by prayer, an urgent, persistent pleading to me, prayer, supplication, with thankfulness in your heart that I am going to provide for you. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, this is an interesting way to say it. To let my request be made known to God sounds from the surface like I'm informing God, doesn't it? That he didn't know something, and now I'm informing him of what's going on in my life so that he can deal with it. That's kind of typical with our relationships with other people, isn't it? You got to tell someone if you want some help. It is not this way with God. Matthew 6:8, where Jesus is teaching us how to pray. You know what Jesus says? Don't worry about all this stuff. God knows what you need even before you ask. Church, please get this. This is not about informing God. It's about inviting God. Inviting him into the situation that you thought was yours but is really his, and saying, I'm turning this over to you. I'm inviting you to be my leader, my shepherd, my father, and I'm going to go low and in humility say, this is yours. This is where humility and prayer intersect. At the place where we say, I do not provide for myself, but I have a father who does. And we invite him to be sovereign over what we're going through right now. This is humility. I think this begs the question then, if God already knows everything I need and what I'm going through, why should I tell God or talk to him or ask him for anything? Isn't that that's a logical response to this, right? Why should I tell someone who knows everything, anything? Here's why. Because prayer isn't about informing and convincing God to do. Prayer is about humbling and surrendering myself to receive. If you don't bring anything away from this morning, I think this is one. If you don't bring anything else away from this morning, I think this is one you want to bring away. I'm going to say it again. Prayer isn't about informing God and convincing God to do. Prayer is about humbling and surrendering myself to receive. Does God respond to the prayer of his children and do because of their prayers? Yes. But that's his job. As far as it concerns me, what is the purpose of prayer in my life? I don't need to inform God, and I don't need to instruct him on what he should do. He doesn't need that from me, okay? He doesn't need that from me. But here's what I need from him. I need to receive from him, and when I pray and invite God into what I'm going through, into my life, into my situation, humbling myself and going low and receiving from God is what it accomplishes. There's a quote from Andrew Murray. We've been quoting this book called Humility from Andrew Murray over and over and over in this series. If you haven't picked up on it yet, you should probably buy the book. He says this about prayer and humility. He says, just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds the creature, that's us, abased and empty, his glory and power flow in to exalt and to bless. You know how when water is spilled on the counter, what's it going to do? Spill off of the counter and onto the floor, right? Have you ever had a leak in an upstairs part of your house? Where does the water go? Unfortunately, it goes downstairs, right? Water, because of gravity, is constantly flowing to the lowest place possible. And in the same way, the peace, the leadership, the blessing of God doesn't flow to people who are in high places of pride. It flows to people who have knelt and gone low and said, I need you. If you are constantly wondering why you don't feel God's peace, and if you are constantly wondering why God will not tell you what you ought to do, you're not feeling the leadership of God, chances are, 99 times out of 100, it's never because God isn't leading or giving peace. It's because you are in a high and lofty, prideful place where you cannot receive it because I got this. You want to feel the peace. You want to feel and experience the leadership of God. Go low in your heart. And as a child, say, I cannot, but you can, and I will receive it from you, from your hand. That's the posture of peace right here. This is the posture of peace. Going low. Humbling yourself to receive from God. In most situations in my life that I don't experience God's leadership and his peace, it's because I'm not in the posture to receive it, which is humility. Church, we have been preaching on humility for several weeks in a row. This is not a passing thing. I hope every one of our hearts is catching on to the fact that this is the very beginning and basis and foundation of how we have a relationship with Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know that they are spiritually bankrupt and have nothing to offer God, and that your relationship with him from now to the end of eternity, which does not exist, will be receiving from God. Some of us are very uncomfortable with that because I provide for myself and I'm a responsible adult. And I pick myself up by my bootstraps and I say, go for it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my life. I'm going to make decisions. America. And while providing for yourself and providing for your family and being responsible are all very good things that God commands for us to do, we cannot stop being God's children when we begin being an adult in our lives. We are always his children, which means we always must receive from him. There's never a moment in your life that you are not a needy newborn baby needing everything done for you when it comes to your relationship with God. Ever. And if that makes you uncomfortable, it's because you are I am arrogant. We need him. And the only way to experience his peace and his leadership is from the posture of humility. So those are the instructions, but then God goes on in verse 7, and he gives us a promise. Look at this promise. And the peace of God, don't miss the word of. That word of means everything. The peace of means the peace from God. Not the peace from me. And when I get anxious, I start trying to produce peace for myself. Do you? I start problem solving and fixing and figuring out what's got to change and how to manage this and how to control the outcome of this situation. And I might even experience a small amount of relief from what I'm going through because of that. But it's not the peace of God. We don't want to settle for the peace of Travis, the peace of man. We want the peace that comes from God. And that doesn't come by problem solving. That doesn't come by me being responsible and figuring out an answer. It comes by me humbling myself and saying, God, provide to me. And this supernatural exchange occurs. I humble myself and present my request to him. And this supernatural miracle thing happens where this peace that I don't get why it's coming into my life happens. And he gives it because it's from God, not from me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I used to think that this word surpasses just meant that the peace of God surpasses understanding means I will have peace that I just don't understand why I have it. And that is true. But it's not only that. This word surpasses doesn't just mean that it's beyond me understanding. It means it's greater in value than all understanding. The peace of God, which is greater in value than all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind. Here's what that means. Even if I could have all understanding of my situation and all the things in my life, if I had all the pieces of the puzzle came together, I could step back and see it all. Even if I could, which is impossible, but even if I had all understanding, God's peace would be more of a treasure. Because when is the last time that you fully understood something at all? And even if you did, when's the last time it actually brought you lasting peace? Knowledge does not create peace. A Father in heaven who loves me gives me peace. The peace of God, which is more valuable and weighty and more of a treasure than all understanding. And what will it do? This promises that his peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's another thing I want to kind of reorient you on. And I'm not 100% sure this is what it means. I don't know if I agree with myself yet on this. Let's put a little asterisk on this one, but I'm pretty confident, okay? This is what Travis thinks. When he says that the peace of God, which will guard your hearts and your minds, I used to take that as meaning that his peace will protect my heart and my mind from all the anxiety that I'm going through. His peace will protect my heart and my mind. How I think, what I feel. That my heart and my mind, these are the things being guarded. But every other time that Paul uses this word to guard, in the New Testament, there's two other times. He uses it in the sense of to guard against. Here's what that means if we take it this way in this passage. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard me from my heart and my mind. Now that's different, isn't it? But it makes total sense. Because when I'm anxious and when I have a problem or a decision that I'm trying to be responsible and figure out and fix, the problem is here and here. My mind is spinning. My heart is anxious. I'm afraid. And so my heart says, make a decision, fix it quick. And my mind says, yeah, I'll figure out how to do that. And every time that I go down that trail, I regret it in a major way. I need protecting from my heart and my mind. I need to be protected from what I naturally do in my sin to be in charge and to fix it. I need to be protected from the stuff that my heart and my mind produce when I'm anxious. And the promise of God is that the peace of God, when you surrender in humility to Him and give Him your anxiety in prayer and constant, persistent pleading, His promise is that His peace will protect you from yourself. That is a promise I want to cash in on. Because my heart and my mind have caused me more trouble than any person, any experience, any problem or situation. And His promise is that His peace will stand guard against the evil of your mind and your heart and what it will do to you. Isn't that amazing? One more thing. Everything Paul has been saying up to this point, addressing us in his word, in God's word, every address to us is in the plural. Here's what that means. All of this peace and surrendering and humility and going to God for His guidance is done together in community. This is not a Lone Ranger thing. If you think you're going to hear the voice of God and His leadership clearly without the people He's put in your life who also love Him, you are fooling yourself. God uses the people in our lives around us who love Him and who are listening to Him to speak truth in our life and to help us discern exactly what it is that God is saying to us. His peace is not found by me being a Lone Ranger and figuring it out all by myself. His peace is found in the community and the love and the family of His church. Look around you. This is a gift. These people around you are a family. We may have different moms and dads, but we are no less a family than in our own families at home. Because we will be in a family in the kingdom of God forever. This is a gift. Use it wisely. His peace, which is of more value than all understanding, will guard us against our hearts and our minds together in community in Christ Jesus. Back to the beginning, the Lord is at hand. Jesus is near. We are not on our own. He is the foundation of our peace. If at any moment in time you try to run this plan that we're talking about today just by fabricating it yourself, you're going to lose track. It has to be on a foundation that Jesus is the one supplying the peace. Jesus is the one walking you through your anxiety. I don't want anyone to think today that I'm saying, see, there it is. It's as simple as that. Easy. It's not. It's not easy. But it is clear. If you were to look at my life and write this passage based off of watching Travis, let me read to you what this verse would say. Be anxious about everything. Because, Travis, you're responsible for your life and everything in it, so don't mess this up because it's on you if you do. That being the case, brood and worry over everything you're concerned about 1,000 times over until, through careful planning and problem solving, the answers to your problems present themselves to you. Do what makes most sense, and then let an exceedingly mediocre experience of very shallow and temporary relief wash over you until the next problem presents itself in 5 minutes from now. Repeat. I'm really glad that no one wrote these verses watching my life. I'm glad for all of us. The way of God's peace is this. I have anxiety or a decision to make or a situation or a person I need to respond to or a problem. And so I go to God in the context of the community of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I seek the prayer and counsel of others and then surrender to God together in this way. We together surrender our will to God in this way. And we say this, God, I don't know what to do. Do you know that two of the most profound and spiritual phrases that you can utter are, I don't know and I can't? When we utter those phrases to God and really believe it, but believe that He does know and that He can, a really crazy thing happens in our heart. And it's this, I just let go of the steering wheel. And I let Him be the one driving. So in community together, we go to God and we say, God, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? What do you want out of this? Lead me, guide me. This is your problem, not mine, and I trust you. And then, as we listen, you have to listen. And it's very subjective, I know. I don't have any objective steps to say, here's how you know exactly what God is saying. I think it's a big part of why we do this in community. It's to protect ourselves from the things we want to do rather than the things that God is leading us to do. But as you listen, you go to where the peace is. It is the peace of God that's going to guard you from what your heart and mind would mislead you to do. So as you think through your options, as you pray through your options, you ask God to be clear with the sensation and experience of His peace because you've humbled yourself to receive it. You say, God, give me peace where the right trail to take is. And you listen. And you talk to others. You pray it through and you don't rush it. And where you feel peace, which is often going to be different than what you thought was best or your gut feeling or what you want to do. Where you feel the peace, that's what you do. Is it that simple? No, it's actually a very difficult path to take. But God is faithful. You may say, how's it going to work? How am I going to know? Here's what I know. God instructed you to humble yourself, and He promised to give you peace. So you may wonder how this is all going to work and how am I going to know I heard from God, but here's the deal. That's His fault. Not fault. That's His problem. God doesn't have any faults. That's His problem to figure out. It's God's job to provide the peace and to fulfill His promise of giving you peace and leading you. It's your job to seek His humility so that you can receive it. Church, most of the anxiety in life comes from trying to control outcomes that are uncontrollable and that we were never designed to be the bottom line on. Things like what will happen in the future? Will it turn out like I planned or like I hoped or I wanted? Things like what someone else will do or what someone else will think, you do realize those things are completely out of your control. So it is complete madness to live like you can control them. That's insanity. I'm not saying that all anxiety comes from that. Sometimes something happens and it's just so rocking us to the core. We're just as humans going to be hurting and worrying and anxious. Don't guilt yourself when something happens and it's got you in that place. I've been asked before, is worry or anxiety sin? Yes and no. Is it sin that that's our immediate response? Probably not. I don't know. The question is, do I take the path of pride that says, okay, I'll fix this? That's sin. not to mention it's going to cause you lots of problems? Or will I take the path of going low and saying, I'm going to get in a place of humility where I can actually receive from my Father in heaven? See, that is honoring to Jesus. And that is the path of peace and his leadership. Responding in humility by needing Jesus and presenting my request to him and then going where the peace is, that's where my anxiety gives way to God's sovereignty, because that's where my pride has given way to the humility of Christ. And we always find peace where we are humble. This is his promise. It's not simple. It's not simplistic. It's not a 1, 2, 3 step. Here we go. I did the magic steps and now I have peace. That would be doing it in our own power. This is a relationship that we walk in day by day with our Father. But if you want the peace, leadership, and blessing of God, I can tell you one thing I know for sure. It will not be found in a place of arrogance. It will be found in a place of deep, God-made humility. If you don't seek anything else from God for the rest of your life, seek his humility. And all these other things will be added as well. The band is going to come up and they're going to play a song over us. What I'd like you to do is, there's this card in the information rack in front of you. I'd like you to take it out, everyone. It says this: I will not be anxious about, and there leaves a blank, because every one of us have our own story and our own fill in the blank that we would write in there. For some of us, it's the prognosis I just got from the doctor. For some of us, it's I have bills to be paid and I have no money. For others of us, it's one of my children is making really bad decisions and I'm so worried for them. It could be a million different things. I will not be anxious about whatever that is, but instead I will pray, give thanks to God, and let the peace of Christ transform my mind. This is for you. That as we sing this song over you, you would listen and ask God, maybe for the first time in your life, where have I been prideful and anxious because of my pride? That I have not allowed you to be God in my life. What is that area? There might be 7 or 8. I don't know. But as he speaks to you and tells you where your heart is, write it down. Take this home. Keep it somewhere this week. And start that lifestyle of surrendering to Jesus in your anxiety, your worry, your decisions. And remember that they are his problem. And he is inviting you to make your problems his problems. And he will give you his peace if you'll just surrender in humility. No one's too mature to do this. If you think you are, you're the one who needs it most. Start a conversation with a very real piece of paper that you can bring with you. Start this conversation with God and listen and receive from him. Amen? Let's let the Lord speak and sing over us.